Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing well, doing good. Well. A Great. Lot of things to talk about.
Too many things.
I hope you have all the answers.
Oh, I hope I have some.
Well, first you have to ask good questions.
Yeah.
And when you get a sort of an answer, it's supposed to lead to more questions to, you know, further expand your knowledge. But then nobody would ever recognize that because it's final.
Yes.
This is the science gives you your final answer. Yeah. Well, okay, our final answer will when we know the absolute truth, which is not going to be in our lifetime, and it's not going to be historically found, but it's good to have that goal.
Yes.
And that's what I like to encourage, and it's fun seeking the truth. It's great when you discover and think you're on the right track and see if anybody else will agree. But we want to start off with somebody that's related to me, and I think that his name is Rand Paul.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
And did you notice he was in the news more this week?
A lot, yesterday, a lot.
But there's also, you know, some risk, and I'm not kidding about that.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
He's already been bumped around a bit, and he knows about that. And, of course, we all should be concerned about it. But he and Fauci don't get along real well. And Rand's on to it, and he's determined. And you know what? A lot of times, you know, I might strike out on an issue and work on it, but sometimes I see some changes. But I think Rand could claim that there's a definite change in attitude on
yeah.
this. And some people are starting to say, and I think this is an issue sort of like auditing Fed was a bipartisan thing.
Yeah.
You know, transparency. And I think on this, although the Democrats are going nuts because they know they're losing it, that this should appeal to anyone halfway decent
yeah.
and honest. They'll say, yeah, we need to know about this. This is serious stuff. And I don't know, Rand has not taken the final conclusion. He just says there's evidence that our money went
yeah.
from the American taxpayer, and with the help of Fauci, this money ended up in China.
Yeah.
And the facts have been stated, and they've been denied. But I think it's going to persist. I don't think it's going to go away. This week, Rand got a little bit more determined. We'll get the Department of Justice involved,
yeah.
which is proper. But can we be excited about the Department of Justice all of a sudden bringing us justice?
Yeah, no,
but anyway, that's the routine that we're supposed to go through. But the evidence have to be there, and that'll keep the attention up there because people truly want to know because it is a big, big issue. And of course, we think, you know, at times it's been blown out of proportion, so we want facts.
Yeah.
And in this case, so he's been busy with this, and it's going to be around for a while, and hopefully we'll end up finally getting to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I think he's really honed in on something. Rather than trying to, and it's an interesting strategy, rather than trying to take a look at the whole big picture, and you know, which is very confusing, it confuses us, he's honed in on one thing Senator Paul has, which is, did the NIH, did under Fauci, did you fund gain-of-function research in China? And of course, why in China? Because you're not allowed to do it here. It's illegal here. Did you fund people taking viruses and Frankensteining them up so that they can jump from animals to people? And really, the sparks were flying yesterday. Each time they meet, the sparks are flying more. But, you know, I have to say that looking at Fauci, he seemed like he was unhinged. And I don't think that I've been to a lot of congressional hearings, and a lot of them have been pretty difficult. But I've never seen a witness scream to a senator, "You're a liar, you're a liar." And that is pretty serious. But Senator Paul was simply pointing out that by your own definition of gain-of-function research, you did fund gain-of-function research. What I think is different about this time is that some people are breaking ranks even in the mainstream. And in fact, let's look at this first clip right now, because this came out yesterday afternoon. This is Josh Rogan. He's a columnist for the Washington Post. It does not get any more mainstream than that. And here's what Josh Rogan said. Hey guys, Rand Paul was right and Fauci was wrong. The NIH was funding gain of research in Wuhan, but NIH pretended it didn't meet their gain of function definition to avoid their own oversight mechanism. Sorry, not sorry, if that doesn't fit your favorite narrative. If I were Fauci, I would be pretty nervous right now.
You know, the principle of an audit is very, very good, no matter what size government you have. If you have honest audits, I think you're going to be able to curtail government a lot easier. I've often said, why do you work on this audit the Fed stuff? I said, well, I think if everybody knew exactly what the Fed was doing and would look at the audit, they'd be a lot more anxious to know more about monetary policy and maybe consider taking this power away from the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
So no, audits are good, but audits are denied because that's revealing the truth, you know, and both sides generally want to hide it. They don't go into it. Take, for instance, the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That's a bipartisan issue, and both sides support all that money. But the Pentagon never really gets audited.
Yeah.
Just think of all the corruption that has to be there and where all that money goes. And so foreign aid is the same way. Foreign aid, for instance, a lot of it goes to the universities because they're going to work on something that has to do with a foreign country. So it's a real mess. But it's typical that money is appropriated. It's authorized and appropriated, but that's when it ends, and that's when the politician says, "We better not look at it. No denying it, you know, and the people don't care. We have so much money anyway, you know, a couple billion here and a couple billion there. But now maybe if we lose a trillion overseas, maybe they'll start paying attention." But no, they just, it just goes on and on. And when I think of the foreign aid, I think of it this way. First, it's taken from poor people in this country and given usually to rich people over there, or rich people even here. But the taking of the money, I consider theft, because even though they pass a law, a government law can be, morally wrong and unconstitutional as well. So they do that and get the money, but that seems to be the easy part. But when it gets more difficult, you have to hide the spending, and that's where you really need the supervision and to find out where it's going, and that makes a big difference. But it'd be much better if they just quit stealing from the people, because it literally is, and that whole type of system is an undermining of the middle class. And I often thought that, boy, I'll get some real good support from liberals when I go to Congress, and I'll point that out, but absolutely zero support.
Yeah.
They probably are every bit as aggressive, if not more, because spending in general is very good. I remember the first year I was up there, back there, there was a bill, Democrats were in charge, and 100% of the Republicans voted against foreign aid. Then the next year, the Republicans were in charge, and I couldn't even hardly get a vote.
Yep.
You know, I said, why are you guys now for the foreign aid? Well, we know the reasons.
That's how it works. Well, Senator Paul did remind Fauci that there is a penalty for lying to Congress, and it involves a few years in the slammer. I think that's why I got him a little bit rattled. He loves to dish it out, but he doesn't want to take it. I guess let's move on to a somewhat related topic. And again, we thank Alex Berenson for his diligent work on this. Well, let's look at this next clip, because this is fascinating. This is from the CDC. Reports of death after COVID-19 vaccination are rare. More than 338 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the U.S. from December 2020 through July 19th, 2021. During this time, VAERS, which is the mechanism for reporting adverse reactions, received 12,313 reports of death among people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. But what Alex pointed out is that this 12,000 represents a doubling in just the past week. Last week, it was 6,000 deaths total reported on the VAERS database, and now it's 12,000. He doesn't know what it means. We don't know what it means. Was it a backlog of recording the deaths? If that's the case, then as Berenson says, you could almost be suspecting that they are holding these back because they don't want to show the true number of people dying. But as Berenson says, regardless of that, he says this new figure means the CDC has now received more reports of deaths following COVID vaccination than all other vaccinations combined in the 30-year history of VAERS. That's significant.
Right. You know, if a private reporter was doing this from a magazine or a website that they don't like, they would cancel them.
Yeah.
They would close them down. You can't do that. So I was just thinking, wouldn't it have been a really neat thing if they got a little careless and they started, well, this is outrageous. We can't let this information out. So we have to close this down. So they cancel the source. Oh my God, we can't do it. It's the CDC.
It's the CDC, yeah. Yeah,
they did it. So that's it. And you started off with saying, it's there. Even the person that put this out here, this is pretty important information.
Yeah.
But it'll be a time, and that's why I believe in audits.
Yeah, audits.
You know, and so in almost everything we do, that is supervising and trying to find out what the government is actually doing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the CDC can explain it, what's happening, because we'd like to know. And I guess we want to move on to the next one, which is also related. And let's put up that next clip, if we can. The rain is coming down pretty hard here. I feel like we're in a war zone. But this is from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and this is their updates and recommendations for opening schools in the fall. And I highlighted, Dr. Paul, this part that you want to talk about. They include a recommendation that everyone older than 2 wear a mask regardless of vaccination status to go back to school.
This is so outrageous. We have pediatricians who really believe, and most of them are good. They're there to take care of kids, and they like kids, and they like working with kids. And that's what the medical organizations are supposed to, just promote that type of medical practice. So we have the American Academy of Pediatrics are doing this. They recommend it, that they don't have to, that they have to wear a mask if they're two years old and going to be getting ready to go to school, contradicting everything.
Yeah.
Even the opposition agrees with us.
Yeah.
The kids are a special case, and they're very unlikely. Now, I bet you could find something where Fauci was all over the place on that.
Yeah.
One time he was for the mask, then he wasn't for the mask. But anyway, I think this is so sad. So they're doing the opposite. If we're anywhere close to being right on this, what they're doing is advocating disease for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And perpetuating all this myth. And you know, it reminds me of what the Academy does, the American Academy of OBGYN is. And that's supposed to promote health care for pregnant women.
Uh-huh.
And of course, some of us went into OB because we thought it was a special part of medicine, and an exciting part of medicine, and a happy part of medicine, because people were getting a new life.
Yes.
And yet they, you know, even before abortion was legal, they were the champions of abortion, and they were teaching, and I heard the lectures and how you do this safely.
Yeah.
But they never talked about safety, and you know, the real philosophy of what abortion is all about.
Yeah.
So here you have these medical associations, they're part of the problem.
Yeah.
AMA,
yeah.
Same old thing. That's why we have the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons.
Yes.
Which is a libertarian group of doctors.
Yeah, much better. Well, you know, there was a study that came out, and we talked about it on the show, finding a lot of harm to kids. Now, that study was pulled, was yanked, was unpublished, but I was actually just reading something today. The main author of that study said they never really poked any holes in our argument. It was all political, so it remains very contentious. But the idea that you have your little kids, well, I'll tell you one thing, Dr. Paul, it's a great argument for a little thing called RonPaulCurriculum.com.
Yeah.
You know, and homeschool your kids. We do not have our kids with masks on while they're doing the Ron Paul curriculum, I can assure you.
Didn't
that.
Didn't have to wear them, huh?
No masks.
They could do it on the porch or outdoors, and they
right.
wouldn't have to think. The laws have changed if you're going outside or if you're
that's
inside.
Right.
So.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to be ready for defunding the police?
Yeah, yes, thing? Yes, absolutely.
Well, the defunding the police issue has been around for a long time, and there's this famous picture when they were ransacking such and such city, and the husband and wife go out and defend their property with their guns, and they're the ones who got arrested, you know, for defending their property. But one thing they have found out is the worse the conditions got in the big cities, and it's still going on, is they defund the police. Oh yeah, more crime. Well, we need to get rid of the police. Well, there are times when the police need reined in, and we've talked about that, you know, at different times. And we raised the question of where was the police, you know, on January 6th? Were they helping or hindering?
Yeah.
You know, that whole situation. So that deserves attention. But what they have found out is this again is remember we would find these conditions where somebody's, you know, preaching the gospel about wearing a mask,
yeah.
Yet they go to the restaurant with their family and they don't wear a mask.
Exactly.
People, even liberals are resentful of that.
Yeah, the hypocrisy.
So, but this is the whole thing is the amount of money being spent on protecting rich politicians has gone up. You know, at the same time, there's no good protection. The police aren't there. I would think that we should work on and get other people, because it's been thought through. They say, you guys that don't want any government, where would the policemen be? Well, you would have volunteerism, but you would also have private police, and you know, gated communities are pretty safe. This whole principle, but that gated community indicates you have to have a lot of money and you have to be a politician.
Yeah.
But why can't, you know, I think the more I've thought about this, it's because they don't respect the Second Amendment. Like that couple that was defending their house, they got into trouble.
Yeah.
But what if you had a community of 30 houses in here and they developed their own protective agency and they all had a gun?
Yeah.
I bet it would be a safe community.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the lack of respect and understanding of the Second Amendment that makes it so that it isn't that, okay, the gut reaction is never defund the police. I mean, it needs reformed and you could spend monies differently, and it's made worse when you just take the funds away and nothing to replace it, and then put the restrictions on the people to protect themselves.
Yeah.
So what a shame. And of course, it fits the scenario of the cultural Marxists, because they're going is chaos in the communities, and I can't think of anything. Well, there could be some more thing. This being chaotic and causing a lot of mess in the cities, and the conditions are much worse. We need cultural Marxism. That'll take care of it. Everybody's fair and equal, and they will take care of them.
Yeah, the hypocrisy is just so astounding. And let's put up that next clip, because this really lays it out. The hypocrisy. And these are Democrat mayors of big cities, always talking about defunding the police, and they are defunding the police, but they're spending millions on their own protection. And it reminds me of the old commies. You know, everyone else was starving while they were dining on lobster and caviar. But here's a couple of examples, and the article goes through several of them. But San Francisco, they spent $12.4 million between 2015 and 2020 to protect the mayor, London Breed. But that's at the same time as the San Francisco officials promised to divest $120 million from the police. So the regular people lose $120 million worth of police coverage, and she gets more and more. The city of Baltimore, one of the most corrupt cities on earth, I think. The city spent $3.6 million in 2020 for 14 police officers to cover the mayor, the state's attorney, and the police commissioner. But they, at the same time, eliminated about $22 million from the police budget. That says everything you need to know about these corrupt
officials. That's for sure. Now, here's a little story from United Kingdom that goes along with my brief theory about having more private police. It was spontaneous if you had the Second Amendment. And this has, you know, UK nightclub owners say they'll refuse to enforce vaccine passport.
Yeah.
They're up in arms. So, you know, when you have a country like England, you know, reacting like this is very, very good. But it's also, has an effect. It's had an effect here when people go to meetings and let the politicians know what's going on. You know, they can change their tune. But this, in a way, is hinting at that the vaccine passports are being promised for them, and the people are starting to get worried about it and refusing to enforce it. But we've had some very good sheriffs and different people because they should be on the side of. Well, they're on the side of the Constitution, but they're not on the side of the local bureaucrats and the local laws, and that's all very confused. But to equalize that and figure out city, county, state, and federal government and the UN, you should say, why don't we look at it from a moral position, saying, do you have the right to do that to me? Do you have a right to steal my stuff and give it to somebody else? You know, the moral issue is more of a universal issue, but law should have a moral principle to it, which it does not at the present time.
Yeah, and you know, the UK is just a basket case. Boris Johnson is one of the worst tyrants in history. He promised that they'd have a Freedom Day, and then that same day he said, well, we're also going to have vaccine passports, which he promised he would never introduce. The guy's a creep. But the good news is that if people like the nightclub owners, if they continue to resist, they won't be able to enforce it. And Peter Marks is in the article we were talking about. He's the chief executive of a nightclub operator, Recom US. And he said, we won't be requiring people to be double jabbed. If they have to require them, they won't let anyone. And he goes on to say something that's so obvious. Younger guests are 95% of our customers. They won't be fully vaccinated by September. We won't be requiring them. Otherwise, we won't have anyone in. So good for
pretty
him.
Pretty logical.
Yeah, pretty logical. I hope more and more get to that point.
So
well, let's put on that next clip, and we can talk about our next story, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
Not a great story here. There we go. Someone's upset. U.S. women's soccer team takes a stunning loss after kneeling for Black Lives Matter at the Olympic opener.
Yes, that's been around for a while, quite a few years in this country. You know, and this is the women's team, and this is a good team. They had 44 straight winnings.
Wow.
And then they got into the demonstrating, job of going there and taking the knee, before the game started. And they lost 3-0 to Sweden.
Yeah.
So there's something to said about the psychology of players in sports, and who knows, maybe they had a second thought. Because what really bugged me about this story, when they talked to them, and these are decent young people. I really do believe they are. If you went into them and talked to this group and said, do you know what you're doing? You're inadvertently helping cultural Marxism make an advancement. Because when you go to the BLM, you ought to look into this thing. No, they wouldn't even understand that. Their belief is that they're serving America. This is Americanism, because we believe in freedom and liberty for everybody, and they believe in total equity, which is the goal of socialism, and it's unachievable. But to me, it's a sad story. Maybe a few people would wake up from this, but it's just in this case, I think it's mostly a misunderstanding, except there has to be, a leader in these events. Sometimes it's one or two people who start this, and then it's very contagious. If you don't do it, you're un-American, and you could lose your job, or you're going to get canceled or whatever. So this story, it has to be a shock to them, but I don't know whether there will be a lesson for very many people. It's sad for me, because I think the best thing in the world to try to bring people together is through athletic events, concentrating on athletic events. And here this was bringing people together, but they had some other teams, foreign teams come and say, boy, we really admire you for doing this.
Yeah.
So that's a real mixed bag.
Yeah. Well, that's why people are tuning out from sports. I think I heard the NBA finals are down 50% from 2019, so something like that. And people aren't watching them. I'm just going to close out by again reminding people of our Ron Paul Scholar Seminar. If we can put that last clip up again. I know I've done it a couple times this week, but I just want to make sure that all young people that are interested in it have the opportunity to apply. We're taking 10 students, upper division undergrads and grad students, 10. It's a small group. It's a very select group. Here's them last year having lunch with Representative John Duncan. We're going to have a good group this year. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org. On the upper right, you'll see the article with the application. The application process is very simple, and we would like to hopefully get as many as possible and get the best group. It's September 3rd in Washington, D.C. There is a scholarship for you to be able to attend the event, so check it out.
Very good. And I'll close by saying that I think today we didn't give too many stories that were really upbeat and positive. A little bit, it's true, and we'll always mention that. But the upbeat message is that the problems are getting more difficult all the time, and we're facing a loss of liberty and a lot more danger in the country and a chance of a real serious economic crisis. But the good news is it's not all that complicated. I already mentioned it. All we have to do is emphasize the point about personal liberty. Quit stealing. If you're in a government, you shouldn't be able to steal. And that's what taxation is. That little bumper sticker I had on my desk the whole time I was in Congress is it's quit stealing. Governments hate competition. And I believe that is the case when they take money from people and then they start passing it out. And as I pointed out earlier, it becomes a little complicated and a little bit dishonest. And most of the time, the Congress never follows up the supervision of the way the money is spent. But maybe there will be a day where the money isn't working so well, and maybe they'll have to find out where the money's going and where the wealth is going and where the value is going. So, but the answers can be found in just understanding personal liberty, and that's not complicated. That means voluntarism and also never initiating aggression against another person. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.